Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Well, we are so glad you're here. My name is Daniel Casnave. I have the honor and privilege of being the lead pastor here at the Bridge Church, and today is a little cold, I know, but I like to highlight some of our serve teams from time to time. I want to highlight today because we brought this team back, our setup and teardown team. They are doing an incredible job. Can you guys just give it up for our setup and serve team? They put up all this stuff and they take it down afterwards. And last night, we've been setting up on Saturdays. They had a record time, and so they had all this done. It's so quick. It's pretty incredible to see. I just love how God is working through you. So thank you so much for what you're doing. And we believe that God is on the move here. A little bit about our church. We are Bible people. We are Jesus people. And we are community people. We love bringing people together. And we're in this series called Faith Steps. And we're just challenging ourselves as we start this brand new year in January. What kind of faith steps is God calling us to? And the first week, we really dove into Scripture and saying, what is our faith based on? And today, the title of my message is, Faith is My Shield. Faith is My Shield. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 is our base verse. And then we're going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 6, okay? If you don't have your Bibles, we're going to have it for you on the screens as well. But I just want to pray for us, ask God to speak during this time, and then we're going to jump right in, okay? So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, God. God, I pray that you would speak during this time. I pray that our hearts would be open to your word, open to your truth. God, I pray that you would just bring some things on our heart and our life. Maybe we need to lay at your feet. God, I pray that you would speak in a mighty way. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I just kind of want to get a quick survey, a little bit about me. I like it if you can talk back. That's okay. You're not going to scare me. Sometimes I get lonely up here anyway. So if I ask a question, you can throw your hand up or say yes or whatever it may be. What kind of vacations do you guys like to go on? Are you anybody mountain people? Like, I love to go to the mountains. I love to be... See, I'm kind of like the mountains. I like that. I like to ski. I like to have something to do, right? But anyway, the mountains, maybe your beach. Yes, vacation people. Absolutely. Beach is probably my favorite. Maybe you like, who likes to get like an Airbnb over a hotel? Like you try to find like the nice trendy house, maybe, I don't know. Or you just like the hotel. Me, to be honest with you, I'm probably just looking for the lowest price, right? Like just wherever I can go. Kids can make pallets, whatever, just to make it happen. But me, I'm a beach person. I love the beach, and luckily, we live right by the beach, right? We can just go to Hilton Head and enjoy it. And one of the reasons I love the beach is because of the ocean, because of the waves. I can put a chair down on Hilton Head Island in that hard, smooth sand as the waves are coming up and let it hit my feet all day, right? Like I could just sit there and the waves come in. And another thing I love about the waves in the ocean is the sound that it makes. And it kind of just is that soothing sound. You look out into this incredibly large ocean, and I'm always reminded of like, wow, God is so big. I mean, he breathed that into existence. It just does something to my soul to be a part of that. And but if you're looking at the waves, it may symbolize different things. And honestly, it may symbolize different things depending on what season of life we're in even. Because one perspective is we see the waves coming in, constant flowing, and we may say, oh, that represents God's faithfulness. That represents his steady, his never-ending love supply, just continuing to come in. That represents who God is, and that's all true, and that's all right. But we could be in a season where we look at the waves and go, it's just like life. It just constantly is coming. It's constantly taking over my life. I just feel like the problems just keep on coming. Problems just keep trying to hold me down. And wherever we're at, that may represent different things. And today, really, I have this printout every time I do a series, and this series is on faith. And so I have like 100 different verses which are on faith, and I begin to pray through those. God, what do you want me to teach on, speak on, and what direction? And we got to this verse, and something just jumped out. It was like the Holy Spirit was like, this verse right here. And as we look at this in 1 John, it's really a hidden gem. Because if we look at 1 John, most people know about the book of John, which is a very popular part of the Gospels. But the 1 John, which is kind of in the back of the New Testament written here, it has these two verses, which to me are life-changing verses for our faith. Because there are seasons in life when life is overwhelming. When life begins to weigh on our minds, weighs on our heart, and we may be looking just like the waves. I just need to get above these waves. I need to overcome. I need to allow this to happen. And for me, as I was studying this, the last really 2 years of our lives began to see, and one of the things that God has really laid on my heart that I'm passionate about is helping Christians overcome. Because I want us as followers, and maybe you're listening in or in the room and you're just checking out this church thing or checking out this Jesus thing. This is a great opportunity to lean in to see what our faith can do and the life that God has called us to and designed us for. And it's not to live a life of constantly walking and experience this overwhelming, I am alone, I can't do this, all of these different things. In fact, I want to read this to you in 1 John verse 4 and 5. And this is what it says. It says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" What a powerful packed two verses. It says, for everyone, that means everybody, right? For everyone who gives their life, who places their faith in Jesus, the Bible uses this word born again in the Bible. And it's not talking about where we go and are physically born again, but he's talking spiritually, that God does something in us. Our past is forgiven, and now the Bible speaks that spiritually we are a new creation in Christ. God begins to do a new work in us as he has changed us, and he takes us on this journey where now we are saved, our eternity is secure, our past is forgiven, and then he starts to teach us about our new identity. He begins to teach us of how we can overcome in this present world and begins to walk with us in and through that. But he says, I love this, and as we're talking about faith steps, it says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. He says, our faith, your faith, my faith. He's saying that is what gives us victory. And it's based off the premise of who our faith is based in. And so if we don't know Christ, our faith may be based in our career, or our faith may be based on ourselves. I can do it. I can push through. I am strong. I can make this happen. But when we give our lives to Christ, now my faith is placed in the hands of Jesus. Now my faith is placed in the creator of the universe. Now my faith is placed in the hands who breathed out that ocean at one time, right? Who created all of us, who created us. And now that is where my faith is based. And that is what I get to lean on. And that is what I get to walk on. And I love this word. If you look at the word faith and kind of break down a definition, this is what it says. Faith is what can be believed, a state of certainty regarding belief. And if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write down this definition, or maybe you want to take a picture of the screen, but you can remember this. Faith is what we believe and how we live out of that belief. Faith is what we believe and how we live out of that belief. Because faith is what I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe that he said the work is finished when he died on the cross, that I am saved, I am forgiven, that I spend eternity with him. And then we see in James, it says faith without works is dead, right? And the first week we talked about having this wheelbarrow moment where we trust God to get in the wheelbarrow and walk across this tightrope. But we see this, and because if our faith is secure in Christ, not only is that our belief, but we believe it so much that now we change our life to follow that belief. We change that life to go, okay, I believe Jesus so much, my actions are going to back it up. I believe in Jesus so much, my mindset is going to live out of it. Now I'm living out of that belief. And that is the faith that God is calling us to. Because I know if we're talking to our friends or talking to our kids, and we say, well, do you believe me, right? And we could ask that, do you believe me? And they're like, yeah, I believe you, right? Whatever it may be. But then if they turn around and do something the exact opposite of what you just talked about, you're questioning, oh, wait a second, do you actually believe what we just talked about? And you and I, with our relationship with Christ, God is calling us. He's saying to place your faith in me. When we take faith steps in Christ, we continually are saying that I'm believing what God has called us to. I believe it so much that now I want to reorient my life to pursue who God has actually created me to be. He didn't create us to run away from him. He didn't create us to pursue the sin in life. He created us to pursue him. We were created in the image of God, right? And he's saying, I want to get you to that. I want to restore you to that fact. Because we live in a broken world. We live in those moments in our lives, but you and I have those moments. But as we think about that faith, and if our faith is what helps us overcome, then how do we actually overcome? Like, what does that look like, right? Like, what does that look like when I go to work? What does it look like when I'm under, honestly, spiritual attack? Like, what does it look like when I'm feeling overwhelmed to actually use my faith? And one of the things that for our church is we want to help this thing to be practical. Our mission statement is to connect people to Jesus daily. We want it to be real, just as real on Sunday as it is on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. My heart's desire is that we experience this every single day, the relationship with Christ. And so we see this, and we get our answer. We get some direction here. We get an incredible visual in Ephesians chapter 6. And the Apostle Paul is writing this inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he is writing this specifically for people, specifically for Christians who are under spiritual attack. He's saying when the enemy comes at you and when he's trying to take over your life, when he's trying to create this overwhelming sense in your life, I want you to have victory. I want you to overcome. In fact, you were created to overcome. You were created for this, and I want you to experience that. So he gives us actually a huge list of seven things. But we're going to focus in on one of those seven. And if you want to go back and read Ephesians chapter 6, it's incredible. It'll fire you up. You'll be high-fiving, chest-bumping, and ready to run out and take the hill. But we're going to look at one particular verse, and that's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Everybody still good? Very good. Verse 16, it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I love that. There's a common theme, there's a word that continues to repeat here in this verse, right? And it's all. Take up. And it says, in all circumstances. I love this phrase here. All means all the time, right? Like all means, that's a preacher joke for you. But anyway, all means all the time. In all circumstances. That he is saying, no matter what is in front of us, I want you to experience in faith. And the way that we do that is he says there is an active of taking up your shield. I love history. And one of the things for me, I grew up like playing sports, and now I have three boys, and so we love to do the wrestling thing and, like, think about the war times, all those and whatnot. And one of the stories that has always intrigued me is the story of the Spartans and the way that they battled and the way that from birth they would create these warriors, basically, right? And they had this saying in the back when they would go to war is their wives would look at their men and they would give them this charge as they left. They would say, here's your shield. I want you to I want you to bring me back this shield or come back on it. Basically telling them, hey, when you go into battle, like this is your shield. Like you do not retreat, you do not back down, and this is your shield. And they would say even for the Spartans, like that was one of their most powerful weapons that they would carry into battle. And so Paul would know this, and that's how they battled back during these Bible times. And so as he uses the illustration, people would have seen these Roman officers walking around with these big shields. And during those days, the shields were almost 4 feet tall and say like 2.5 feet wide, so to speak, because in battle, it would cover their entire selves. And so the Spartans, what they would do is, you may know this, you may know more than me anyway, but Spartans would come and they would have their shields and they would come up to this city or come up to this fight, come up to this battle, and they would have their shields. And then they would come together and create a wall, basically, right? And they would sit down and they would crunch down under this shield as people were coming at them. But the enemy started to see this. So, of course, they had the high ground, so they would take arrows, and they would light those arrows with fire. And then, so there was a wall there, so they started shooting the arrows up over the wall, these flaming arrows up over the wall, so it would hit. Even if the arrows missed somebody, it would hit the ground and catch themselves on fire, people around them. And here's the thing about our faith, and the Apostle Paul, this is why he's using this illustration, so to speak, about our faith. He is saying, take up the shield of faith. But godly community, just like these Spartans, as they would come together, godly community makes our faith shield bigger. You and I, when we walk in godly community, when we get connected to a local church, our faith shield gets bigger, because when the battle comes and it really starts taking us on, right, we start coming together. And maybe I may not have all the faith, but I can lean on my brother or my sister, right, who can have the faith, who's talking in my ear, who's walking me through this, who's holding me accountable. Think about that wartime. That's Paul's talking this, right? Like, think about that. If they were to run out on their own, they would, what are you doing? Like, you're going to get taken out. Get back in formation. Get back in. Like, it would be a big deal. It wouldn't be like, oh, come on. I love you, buddy. You come do it. Like, let me just help you back in, right? Like, we're in a war. Get up. Like, I'm dragging you back. Even if you don't want to, you don't know it's for your good. I'm dragging you back. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of godly community. For you and I, it's like, hey, you need this. I'm here for you, right? Like, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing even to, like, maybe ruffle your feathers, because I'm speaking the truth in love to help us get into this, because godly community makes our faith shield bigger. And then as the fiery arrows were coming up over there, right, what they would do is the first one would come, and then the fiery arrows would come over top, and the person behind them would take their shield and place it over that front row. And the same thing over and over. So now not only am I covered in the front, now because of my community, I'm covering those fiery arrows that are coming over my shield. By myself, I have my shield, I'm moving forward, but in community, which that is great in itself, but in community, now the top's covered, the side, all of those as the fiery arrows of the enemy are coming in our lives. When I walk in godly community, my face shield gets bigger, right? And he is saying, when we walk in this, no matter what circumstances we come to, we can face them head on because we're in godly community. He is saying, individually, we still have a shield. Individually, we can still press forward, but our face shield gets even bigger in godly community as we begin to walk together in this. And we see this amazing thing happen, and the shield of faith is great, but if we don't know how to use our faith of shield, right, the shield of faith, then it's almost useless. I mean, we can admire it. We can hold it up like, wow, I have faith in Jesus. This is amazing. This is awesome. Like, we can admire it, right? But if we don't understand how to actually use it, then we're not going to experience the full wake of walking with Jesus. And that's what this godly community is. We're studying and walking and learning together. And that's why Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church and for us, because God wants us to know how to overcome. God wants us to know how to use our faith shield, because the enemy is going to bring those fiery arrows. We know that we live in a broken world. I don't have to tell you that, right? We just got to take a step outside of these doors for 5 seconds to get a CNN notification to know, oh, this world is broken, right? Bad things are going to happen to good people and to bad people. Like, we ourselves battle sin nature inside of us. There's other people in the world that are battling that. We see this spiritual battle of good versus evil, where the enemy knows he can't take your relationship with Christ. Jesus secured that. And when we place our faith in him, our relationship with God is secure. But what he can take away is our effectiveness. What he can take away is go, you need to be on the sideline. You can't do this, right? And one of the ways that he attacks us is through accusing. He accuses you and I. He says, look, see, you said it again. God can't use you. You did it again. Like, and he starts to accuse us, and he brings on what the Bible calls condemnation. But if we read Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Now, God will convict us, and there's a big difference. Now, if we sin or if we're walking away from God, the Holy Spirit will start convicting us. If you notice, maybe if you first started to give your life to Christ, you used to act and say and do certain things, and then you gave your life to Christ, and then all of a sudden you were like, oh, that's not right. I shouldn't be doing that. Like I said, that's the conviction of righteousness. Like he's trying to move you towards what is right. He's trying to move you towards that. But he's not condemning us. Condemnation is shame. Condemnation is guilt. Condemnation is you're nothing. You can't do this. In fact, condemnation will isolate us. And we know God's not called us to be isolated because condemnation says, look, you can't talk to anybody about that. They're going to think you're worthless. They're going to think you're bad. They're going to think all of these things about you. And that's what condemnation brings. But God says, I want you to have that. So our shield of faith against accusation is knowing that God, I put my shield of faith up and my faith says in Jesus that I am secure in Christ. And so as I feel that attack of shame and guilt, God, you want me to isolate? I'm not, because my shield of faith says that I am better in godly community. The Bible says, right, like we have our shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I know in Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So my shield of faith goes up and I'm able to step forward in what God has called me to because my shield is so close to me. And then another one that he gives us that is really big for Christians, because the actual word devil, Diablo, means to build a wedge, to split. And one of the ways a fiery arrow is to divide. Is to say, you get in your corner, you get in your corner, you get in your corner, right? He tries to divide because he knows that as Christians separate, they're not as strong. But as we come together, our shield of faith gets bigger. But Ephesians 4 says this, I put my shield of faith up, right? I get the accusation. You don't need that many people together. You don't need that many Christians together. Oh, do you see what they said? They're different than you. You don't need to talk to them. All these different things, right? Like they dress different than you. They look different than you. You don't need to congregate with those Christians. Like all these things are going to start to divide. But you and I know that Ephesians 4 says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. There seems to be a common theme here, right? That God is saying that in all circumstances, I am still God. In all of that, in our shield of faith, we're able to raise that up to say, no, I'm not going to divide. I'm going to stand firm in the faith and what God has called us to. Another one he tries to fiery arrow for you and I is doubt. He'll put doubt in our hearts. And you and I have to hold our shield of faith, because faith is rooted in facts. Faith is rooted in what we know. And what I know is what I believe in Jesus, right? Because he wants to feed those seeds of doubt inside of our hearts. He could put doubt in our hearts about our relationship with Christ. He can say, you're too far. You've already done too much. You can't come back to God. But our shield of faith knows, no, that's not what the Bible says. I'm never too far gone to come back into the grace of God. And all of these things, like God is going to welcome me back in relationship with him. And then if I'm in community, right, I try to stray out, they can bring me back into that. But he also can see doubts in our relationship. He can seed doubts as parents. He can put seeds of doubt, whatever it may be, of me doubting what God can do in and around me. Or God may have called you to do something in your life, and that seed of doubt of going, it's not going to happen. See that? Look, that circumstance happened, so look, it's not going to work out for you. It's not going to happen for you. And all of a sudden, doubt, but you're like, we put that shield of faith back up. No, it's based off what I know. God called me to do this, so I'm going to take a step forward. God called me to do this, so I'm going to take a step forward. And we learned last week in the Bible, it's not based off what I see, but off of what God says, right? And what God says is true. And so I'm basing my life and my actions off what God says, and I'm able to put the shield of faith. And so this is the last one I want to talk about today, and we'll get ready to close here in the next few moments, the next 3 hours, and then I'm just kidding. And the last one that really, I believe, one of the big fire arrows is the attack of fear. The enemy comes and he wants to put a seed of fear inside of our hearts. And what does Jesus say over and over? What does God say over and over in the Bible? He comes up and shows up and he says, fear not, fear not, fear not. And then he usually says, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. I love, we were praying about names of churches. We love the Bridge Church. That's what we feel God's called us to. But one in the list was Fearless Church, right? Because I just believe that's what God, that's the lifestyle that God has called us to. We have the shield of faith where we can step into what the world looks at and goes, that's scary. We can't do that. That's not going to happen, right? But as Christians, we can take our shield of faith up and take a step forward in that. When my kids, when they were younger, a lot of them went through this phase where our bedrooms are upstairs in our house. And they went through this phase where they were scared to go upstairs. And they wouldn't go upstairs by themselves. One in particular, I'm not going to say who it is anyway, but they're not in the room anyway. But they would stand there and they were at the bottom of the stairs. And I'd say, go get your shoes or go get your hat or whatever. We're trying to leave. Hurry up, please. And they would just hit the ground. No, I can't. I can't go up there. And they're like, breathing hard, right? I can't make it. I can't do it. I can't go there by myself. Something's going to happen. I don't know. Somebody's up, right? Like all these things. And like it would just, fear would cripple them. They would hit the ground. They wouldn't know what to do. And it can be frustrating as a parent. You're like, nothing's up there. Just, right? Well, all of that. But and that's funny and that's lighthearted. And literally every one of my kids have walked through that. But I think about us as adults and how many times God's like, hey, I want you to do this. And all of a sudden this fear hits us and we're like, oh God, I can't do that. Nope, that's not for me. That may be for them, but it's not for me. That may be right. Like, and the fear cripples us. Fear holds us back from the faith step that God has called us to. And he's going, no, it is you. You know who is living in you. It is the one who created the universe. Do you know who is in you? He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world, right? That's what God's word says. And the enemy, what he wants to do is take the problem, the situation, the circumstance, and he wants to move it closer to us so that that problem is bigger than what we think of God, right? But what the faith shield of faith does is I hold my shield of faith up. Now the shield of faith is closest to my heart, right? And it's in between me and the problem. And so my faith, I'm viewing the problem through the lens of my shield of faith. And now God is bigger. And it's a reminder, no, God is with me. I have my shield of faith. He's going to walk with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He gives me strength to overcome. And I love how the scripture says it doesn't deflect the fiery arrows. It doesn't just deter them. It doesn't just kind of knock them away. No, it says it extinguishes all the fiery arrows, every single one, that our faith in Jesus has the power to extinguish every single spiritual attack that comes at us. We know by faith, we read the book of Revelations, we know Jesus is coming back and the war is already won. We read that. It's not to discourage us that is coming. It's to encourage us, right? We already know the end result. We know that the war is won, but the battles still exist inside of our lives. And we have an opportunity, right, as Christians to stand up, to hold the line and say, I'm going to keep moving forward in faith as culture changes, right? And saying, this is okay, this is what the Bible says, but really we need to be doing this, right? But we as Christians can stand firm in love, right? Step into a world that's hurting and saying, this is what God's called us to. And what separates us, because our faith is in Jesus, what separates us is that we can overcome those spiritual attacks. And we are walking in that faith as God has called us to, because God will lead us and direct us to overcome whatever that sin is that we're battling in our life, whatever that doubt or fear or shame or whatever it may be, division, whatever it may be, God gives us the power to overcome. And as we walk in faith with Christ, we begin to experience this in our lives. To remember, my shield of faith says that God has already won. And I need to trust him and take my steps of faith and who God has called me to be and trust him in my relationship with him, because I believe that God is still moving and working. And so as I close today, my challenge or my question for you and for us as a church is, and we've been asking this question all throughout the series, what faith step is God calling you to take? And in fact, in your seats, there's a little note card that right there. And what my hope is that you'll take that note card. And now, what in your life do you need to overcome? I would encourage you, maybe there's something that you want to write down right now. Maybe you want to think about it over the next couple days, but I encourage you to take that note card with you and say, what am I trying to overcome? You may write, it may be a sin in your life. It may be, and what I'm talking about with sin is something that is against what God's word says. It's a movement away from God. It could, whatever it is, it could be a seed of doubt. It could be fear. It could be whatever it is. What are you trying to overcome? Come. What do you feel like is holding your mind captive? What do you feel like is weighing you down, causing worry, anxiety? When your head hits the pillow at night, your mind is still catching on to this, right? Whatever it may be, what are you trying to overcome? And my encouragement would you to take that card and you write it down and then confess that to God and say, God, I'm giving this to you. I need your help to overcome it. And then what I want you to do is take this card and I want you to find something in the Bible that helps direct you to overcome that. And so whatever it may be, and if you want some direction in that, we have some leaders at the Connect Center. I would love to talk with you in that because our shield gets bigger, right? Walking in community. So it may be like, hey, do you have some good verses I can lean in on? Do you have some good verses I can talk about this? You may say, hey, will you pray for me for this, right? I want to lean in and pray with you because I'm telling you, for me, I want Christians to walk in victory. I think it's one of the biggest callings that God has called us to, that in all circumstances, we will probably face another pandemic. We probably will face another political division moment in our history, right? We will face other circumstances, and I want Christians to step forward and go, you know what? We're going to walk in victory because this is not my home. You know what? We're going to walk in victory because my hope is not based on that. My joy is not based on that. My joy comes from the Lord. My hope comes from the Lord. My faith is secure in Jesus and not in that, right? And so I can walk in victory. I just got done this week watching this young girl who's in her 20s. She's facing some physical illnesses that they believe it's going to end up taking her life. But she's using this time to direct people to Jesus. Her shield of faith is up and going, although my outward body may be wasting away, but my inner soul longs to be with Jesus. And that, my friend, is victory. Because even that can't hold us down, right? Even that, our soul can rejoice because Jesus on the cross made a way for you and I to have victory even in the face of that. And that is what our faith in Jesus offers. That is what we have. That is why we can take faith steps. And even though it may not look like it, but I'm going to take that step of faith because it's what God's word says. And so I would challenge you, what are you trying to overcome? And for you, maybe your very first faith step is saying, I need a relationship with Jesus. I don't have one. I've never placed my faith in him. And so I'd love to pray with you today that would you walk out of here knowing the victory you have in Christ, knowing that on your very worst day, Jesus holds your eternity secure, right? Like you know that. You are walking in that. Maybe for you, a faith step is you've given your life to Christ. You have a relationship with him. You've never been baptized. And I'm telling you, there is something about a public declaration of faith that the Bible calls us to. When we take that faith step, God does something in us. It's like this first public step of obedience, right, that we take. And the Bible, God shows us that this is our next step of faith. And something happens in us when we do that. We want to help you do that as well. Maybe there's something in your life that God's calling you to. And my encouragement is to take up your shield of faith. Maybe you want to write down what you want to overcome. Let's begin to pray together. Let's begin to walk in this together. Our theme for our church this year is we are in this together. Our shield gets bigger together. We're walking through this good and bad, right? Because bad happens, but we're going to walk through this thing together. We're going to walk in what God has called us to. And our mission is to connect to Jesus every day because we believe he is our saving grace. We believe that he is our hope. And that is where our faith is placed. And so if you're sitting in your seats and maybe you want to know more about baptism, one of the easiest ways is stop at the Connect Center, or you can grab one of those Connect cards on your seat, and you can just check, I want to be baptized, I want to be in a small group, I want to be wherever it may be, that one of my faith steps, I'm ready to roll, I'm ready to move in what God's called me to. Or maybe you want to, here's an idea, thinking off the cuff here, you guys with me, is maybe you want to grab that card and place what you want to overcome and drop it in the offering bin, and we'll grab it out. We're going to pray over those, okay? We're going to pray for those, and whatever you want to do there, we're open because we're in this thing together, right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word, for your truth. God, thank you for each and every soul that is in here today listening online. God, I just pray that you continue to speak to our hearts. God, I pray that if anybody in this room doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that today that changes, that we can walk out of here knowing who we have in Christ. God, I pray that you give us the courage and the boldness to ask that or take that step or to fill out that Connect card. God, I pray whatever faith step you have called us to, I pray that you move in a mighty way. God, in the list of Ephesians 6, your word says that we are to pray continually. And how that can be a powerful weapon to overcome. God, and we're just praying right now for the people that are sitting in the seats and listening online. God, I pray that whatever's weighing them down, I pray that right now in the name of Jesus that you would increase their faith. As Romans 12 says, the measure of their faith. God, I pray that you will give them the measure of faith to match the trial that they're walking in right now. God, I pray that we take up our shield. We have an active role in this relationship. God, I pray that you give us the daily strength to take up our shield and to keep moving forward, God. God, I pray that you will give us wisdom, give us direction, God. Help us to be open to accountability, open to community, open to all of those things, God, because we can continually grow in you. Things that are healthy continue to grow, God. And I pray that you do that in us and through us. We surrender our lives to you. We open our hearts to you, God. And we pray that you would just speak in a mighty way. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.